Our Lady is Queen of angels and of men, and it is her sovereign will that we should spread the kingdom of Christ to the four corners of the earth. And it is the will of Christ the King that we should praise and honor Our Lady as she truly deserves, and to defend her honor with our lives and even with our very blood if the opportunity should arise. Our Lady is Queen of angels and of men, but in a very special way for us this evening, she is Queen of the Seraphic Order. She was Queen for St. Francis because, as Thomas of Celano tells us, St. Francis praised Our Lady in a way in which it would be hard to describe. Her praises were constantly on his lips. He chose to found the order and to die in the place that was most beloved by the Blessed Virgin. St. Maximilian Kolbe, of course, consecrated himself as a young man to Our Blessed Lady and even thought that perhaps Our Lady wanted him to fight for Poland because he understood her, as all Poles did, to be the Queen of Poland. He was even going to leave the seminary in order to join the Polish army until his mother intervened, inspired by Our Blessed Mother herself, and assured him that his vocation was to be a friar. And so St. Maximilian transformed his zeal and his chivalrous ideal to fight for the cause of Our Lady, which was to promote and defend and incorporate into the life of the Church the mystery of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. Indeed, the great triumph of the Franciscan Order is the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. So many of the friars and sisters prayed, worked, and suffered to see Our Lady honored in this the tremendous way in which she is honored through this particular dogma. This certitude of the faith, as St. Maximilian called it, by which we could know that God wanted her to be honored in this fashion, and by which we can know that God wants us to live the mystery of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, going to her truly as the Queen. She is Queen in the same way that Christ is King, although, of course, there is also a difference. Christ is God and Our Lady is a mere creature. Yet Christ is King both by right and by conquest. And Our Lady as well is Queen both by right and by conquest, by nature and by grace. By nature because God has made her the masterpiece of his creation. She is the supreme example of the goodness that God has poured forth in creation. And also by grace because she is immaculately conceived. And in the moral order, the most perfect of creatures, not only conceived immaculate, but without any actual sin or any inclination to sin, and wholly united to the Holy Spirit, so perfectly united to the Holy Spirit that her fullness of grace overflows, you might say, into the incarnation. So full of grace is she that God becomes her very Son. But she is also a queen by conquest, because she has been faithful to our Lord at each and every moment of her life, continually saying fiat to God's holy will, continually surrendering herself to his sacrificial and redemptive will for her Son. Ultimately, this leads her to the foot of the cross, where she opens her heart up to the whole world. She becomes a victim with Christ, just as Christ's heart is open with the lance. So Our Lady's soul and her heart are pierced with a sword of sorrow because she is willing to offer her Son on our behalf. And she deserves, therefore, to be venerated as Queen because of the supreme sacrifice that she makes in union with her Son. The Church has always regarded Our Lady as Queen of angels and of men. And she deserves this honor. This is the honor that Christ himself has given her by making her his queen mother. Our Lord is King on earth and reigns from the cross and from heaven, glorified through the resurrection and ascension, because he has received his humanity from Our Lady. God chose to receive something from a mere creature which he otherwise didn't have. He didn't have to do it that way, but he in fact did it that way. And nobody can honor Our Lady as much as our Lord did in fact honor her. And he expects us to honor her in this fashion. It's not an option. There's this ongoing discussion that we're having on the blogs about the dignity of Our Lady expressed specifically in her perpetual virginity. But there's more than that. You know, there's this resistance against the honor that Our Lady truly deserves, because it's not culturally relative, because people may understand it, particularly Protestants and others who do not embrace the fullness of Catholic truth. And yet we draw back from the honor Our Lady truly deserves out of human respect, out of secondary considerations. Our Lady deserves to be honored as queen, and we should honor her as queen precisely because she deserves it. And it is by virtue of our consecration and our membership in the church, our obligation to see to it that she is honored as she truly deserved. So the Franciscans, beginning with St. Francis himself and leading through to St. Maximilian and St. Padre Pio, always pointed the faithful towards Our Lady and towards the highest honor she could possibly receive in this world, because that's in fact what she deserves. And the more that we honor her, the more that we honor her Son, who is the creator of our Blessed Lady, the one who fashions his own mother. He builds a temple for himself, and he built the finest temple that could possibly be conceived, greater than which nothing can be conceived. And so it is our obligation, also our honor and our privilege to call Our Lady our mother and queen, to become members of Christ's family, to become really and truly princes and princesses of the family of God, because we have Christ for our brother, who is our king, and Our Lady as our mother. And so let us follow the example of the saints who always honored Our Lady and consecrated their lives to her and turned to her at each and every moment as the one who possesses every good and every grace, as St. Francis says of our Blessed Lady. And all in you dwells all the fullness of grace and every good. Hail our palace, hail our tabernacle, hail our robe, hail our home, hail our handmaid. St. Francis was never without praise for Our Lady, and we should never be without praise either. Most importantly, by the way we live our lives, by the choices that we make, and by the sacrifices that we are willing to offer in union with her for the salvation of souls. We wish to bring all under the dominion of Christ and under the benevolent and kind and maternal rule of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Lady, Queen of the Seraphic Order, pray for us.